It's time for the Dangerous One, Daryl Ryder. Brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hello, Daryl.
Good morning, guys.
Who's going to play left tackle Sunday?
I don't think it's going to be Jed Wills, unless he's able to practice today. So,
who do you think it's going to be?
Maybe DeJuan. Maybe they move Jack over there.
We're going to put DeJuan Jones over left tackle.
I mean, they got to put someone over there.
You know, he told me himself he probably wouldn't make a good left tackle. It was his. He said it to me.
Well, right now he's not making. He wasn't making a good right tackle either. So.
Okay, he's playing hurt. Daryl, get off his ass.
I'm just saying.
Ask him some questions, Anthony.
Well, I didn't know we were going to start out with the offensive line today after this crazy week. But Ken wanted to know the nitty gritty of the offensive line.
Well, this will be the sixth.
You know, you can lead him too. You can lead him too. You know, you can take over too. You want the sheets?
How about this? Here come the sheets. He's got the sheets. All right.
Okay, I'm kidding. Go ahead. Go ahead.
How about this one? You ready, Daryl?
Uh-huh.
Booth or no Booth?
Does it really matter?
Yes, it does, because that's going to be our segment at 8:20.
Booth or no Booth?
Booth or no Booth?
Yes.
Welcome to it. Daryl, you can start it off. Booth or no Booth?
I'll say no Booth.
Wow.
Direct contact with Blair.
So is he going to be their lockstep, basically tied at the hip? He could be tethered
at the
hip with the head coach?
Well, I don't know where he's going to be. I'm just picking Booth.
They should put them in a get-along shirt on the sidelines.
I'm with stupid.
Put them in one of my flannels, and their heads can both stick out the same top.
I just want to know how long before he destroys one of those electronic pads.
Well, that's what we're worried about.
Like he did in Buffalo.
We're worried about him breaking something up there. We've seen his temper at times. Did you honestly, were you surprised that this was the week, that this was the move, especially with the new quarterback, that we're not going to see the Stefanski play calling, we're instead going to see the Ken Dorsey play calling?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little surprising. I mean, they had to try something, right? Anything? To make this thing work. It's like the meme, the do something meme. Like that's where we've been for 7 weeks here. Do something, try something, anything. So they're going to try this. He's going to do it for the rest of the season, according to Stefanski. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. You know, maybe the results will be a little better. Maybe there'll be less issues with communication like we've seen through the first seven games. Maybe the pre-snap penalties will go away or whatnot. But, And then obviously it depends on how Jameis Winston or whoever is at quarterback, whether it's DTR. At some point we're going to see Bailey Zappe. You just know it. So depending on whoever is at quarterback, you know, maybe we'll get 20 points in a game, or we'll actually get a play that can go for 40 yards for the first time this year. So, you know, because they're pretty bad on offense. Like it's downright unwatchable. So, really, my hope and expectation right now is, can it at least be entertaining? Probably not going to win, but can you at least be entertaining?
Well, wait a minute. If their offense is entertaining and their defense is still decent, why can't they win games?
Well, I mean, they should be able to, but...
Well, then why not us, Daryl?
Well, you you can be entertaining and not score points, Ken.
That's a very hard thing to do, Daryl.
Well, the Browns have perfected it for about 25 years.
No. Well, okay, fine. Daryl Ryder joining us, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers. So what was your initial reactions when Kevin Stefanski gave up play calling?
I was surprised.
Do you think he should have given him up before the season and then taken him back later if there was a change?
No, because, I mean, once he made the decision he was going to do it, I really didn't have a problem with it because he was good at it. I mean... Kevin Stefanski calling plays, in my view, was like on the list of things that I felt were problematic going into the season, like near the bottom of the pile. Now, I understand those that say, well, the reason they brought in Ken Dorsey was to fix Deshaun and this, that, and the other, or make Deshaun better, whatever the reasoning was. It was a bad decision. Like that's what we found out. Like this whole offensive coordinator change thing, very bad decision by the Cleveland Browns. Hindsight being 20/20. But you know, now that I think about it, I mean, I'll hear those that want to, you know, look back and say, yeah, he should have done this from day one. It should have been Ken Dorsey calling the plays. But again, just got a contract extension as the head coach. It's what you do well. Why would you give that up, right? So. here you are at this point in the season. Deshaun's done for the season, and you're gonna we're gonna be on the quarterback carousel pretty much through the end of the year now, and who knows, maybe in the years to follow. And so, you know, why not give up the play calling and let Ken see what he can do there, and you know, maybe you can make something over the final 10, 11 games of the season.
What do they think of Jameis Winston as a quarterback, both in the locker room and with the coaching staff?
Well, I mean, it's kind of hard to read because just because people say nice things publicly doesn't mean that's what they actually feel. But, I mean, I don't see a whole lot of difference in the 20 minutes that we get to watch. I mean, he doesn't look demonstratively different from all the other quarterbacks we see. I mean, they're all one and the same to me at this point. I honestly don't know what to expect on Sunday. I really don't. The Ravens come in with a pretty terrible pass defense that normally, you know, in normal circumstances would mean good things for the Browns passing game, which is one of the worst in the NFL. But, I mean, they've played some not-so-great pass defenses already, and they haven't been able to do a whole lot with that. So, I honestly don't know what to expect from Jameis on Sunday.
Darryl Ryder with us right now talking Browns football. One of the setups that I thought we were very encouraged by and thought it was, you know, another brilliant move to bring another brilliant mind in, now could potentially backfire. What I mean by that is Mike Vrabel, who was spotted on the sidelines during the last game, he's going to be one of the most coveted head coaches in the NFL. Who knows? Maybe college, depending on the particular school and particular opening. With that said, Darryl, how do the Browns kind of navigate the rest of this year if it really goes off the rails when that guy who a bunch of other teams are going to covet and you know a bunch of other owners are going to covet is right there in the building?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. By the bye week, I'm anticipating everyone is going to want Mike Vrabel to be the coach against the Saints on November 17th. Because that's just how things go.
You want to repeat that again, please?
I'm guessing everyone's going to want Vrabel to be the head coach by November 17th.
Oh, like, you're saying the fans, or are you saying the people in the building? You what you're saying? You said something about
fans.
Buildings. Oh, okay. All right,
yeah,
never mind.
Like, because that's how we do things here in Cleveland, right?
Well, I
always,
think that's how
always
well,
fire the coach.
Well,
so.
I think that's how every fan base would act if they were in a 1-6 situation.
Right now, yeah, but at what point are the players accountable?
Well, I think that both can be accountable, can't they? I mean, we've seen the players and fans going after each other all week. I think they're holding the players accountable.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, like, I mean, the players are a big reason why they're in the 1-6 mess that they're in.
Yes.
They're just not doing what they're supposed to be doing. So, I don't think firing Kevin Stefanski would solve any problems. That's my point that I'm trying to make.
Yeah, I guess we're just trying to look at it from the reality. Like, this show, at least two members on this show in particular, have a very high opinion of Kevin. Now, I don't think he's done a good job this year, but that's why I was eager to see how does he do with Jameis Winston, because I could see the offense looking somewhat like it did last year with Joe Flacco. Now, the offensive line needs to get a little healthier, and according to the injury report, seems like, you know, they might be. So,
I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing this Joe Flacco comparison you guys make.
Well, just because he's a quarterback in Jameis Winston who's willing to go down the field.
Who's calling the plays? The guy who got fired and everybody makes fun of? Who's calling the plays? We just keep talking about Joe Flacco. When you say Joe Flacco, remember, that's loaded language here, Tone. Like, that's when I was saying, oh, Andy Dalton's backup. It's the same thing as when you're saying Joe Flacco. When you say that, people are expecting that type of performance. So you're kind of putting too much on Jameis Winston right now. He started 10 games
yeah,
the last five years.
I just think he's capable of actually hitting other reads other than the first that's in front of him.
Well, yeah, if you just want him to be able to play rudimentary quarterback, then yeah. And that's what we're asking for right now because the other guy really couldn't. Then yeah, fine. But if that's your comparison to Joe Flacco, fine. Go ahead, Darryl.
I mean, Kevin's had to deal with 10 different starting quarterbacks. You know, going all the way back to, you know, his first year here. So, I don't know what to expect from Jameis. I just, again, hope the offense is entertaining. Fans enjoy, or able at least to enjoy what they're seeing and see some progress, see some big plays. I think we're going to get as many touchdowns as we do interceptions from him because that's just what his track record is. He loves throwing the ball vertically down the field. You know, obviously those type of plays get fans into the game and whatnot. Hopefully they're able to hit on some of those. You know, the receiving core is a little frustrated right now, and, you know, Jerry Jeudy is the poster boy of that, slamming his helmet during the game. Talked to us yesterday about just how, yes, he was frustrated, probably shouldn't have showed it in that way, but it's a game of emotion. And, you know, when asked if there were opportunities for him out there, he told us to watch the film, which I think was his nice way of saying, yeah, dummy, there have been opportunities for me to get the ball, and I'm not getting the ball. So, you know, there's right now where they're at, just there's frustration all around. I think there's frustration upstairs. There's frustration with the coaching staff. There's frustration amongst the players. There's frustration with the fans. There's frustration with the media. Like, everybody's frustrated because the Browns were expected to be a contender this year. Deshaun was supposed to be that missing link to get them to a position to compete for Super Bowls. And here we are in late October, thinking about what on earth are they going to do to get out of Deshaun Watson's contract? What are they going to do to find the next quarterback? Like, we're back to square one again and really shouldn't be in this spot.
Daryl Ryder brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers. All right, whose side do you take, the fans or the players?
What, as far as
you know what's going on here. Not the fans who cheer. I think some fans feel that they've been talked down to.
I think that what has happened is there's a misinterpretation of the events going on here too.
Let's talk about it.
Well, undoubtedly there is a segment of Browns fans that are thrilled that Deshaun Watson is not going to be on the field Sunday. Okay, but there are extenuating reasons why they're thrilled he's not going to be representing the Cleveland Browns on the field Sunday. Right. Obviously, rooting for a guy to be injured that's out of bounds. That's uncalled for, unnecessary, no matter what. You do not root for people to get hurt. You can root for them to get benched. You can root for them to fall flat on their face and fail. You can boo them during player introductions. All of that's fair game as a fan, okay? But you cross a line when you celebrate a player's injury. And yes, there was a smattering of fans that celebrated Deshaun's injury on Sunday, but I don't think it was as egregious as you know, the players made it out to be. And I really thought that Myles Garrett, with his comments, went over the line talking about just what an outstanding citizen Deshaun has been in college and the pros. Apparently, he missed the hundreds of pages of court documentation that I had to read. You know, Jameis Winston, you know, let's not forget accusations that at some point were levied against him.
What's he been accused of, Daryl?
Florida State.
We're moving on.
Yeah, okay. They had to pay almost $1 million to settle something. So, I don't take a side, Ken, and I'm not ducking your question. I think that the fans that celebrated the injury, however many there were, I feel like they were wrong, but they were the other fans that just booed him and during player introductions and that. That's fine. He hasn't been playing well. So, and again, I think the players are right to call the fans out for celebrating an injury, but also at the same time, let's have some perspective of why there is the animus amongst some fans toward Deshaun that there is.
The Modell Law, Tone, is it going to keep the Browns in Cleveland?
We'll see. I mean, this filing by the Browns yesterday was a result of the saber rattling coming from City Hall about trying to enforce this. And the Browns are on a timetable here. They want to move forward with this dome in Brook Park, and they don't want to allow the city to take their time and try and jam up the project with litigation. So they said, fine, you want to sue us? Let's go to court right now and let's get this thing straightened out. And you know, it is a very vague law. The Browns contend that come 2029, once the 2028 football season's over, they will have fulfilled the terms of the lease with the City of Cleveland and the Stadium Corporation that was signed back in 1996. There is no more. The stadium will have been paid off at that time. No more taxpayer money would be going into that building, and therefore they should be free to move into a new building. And what's interesting to me and frustrating for me and makes me just roll my eyes and not take politicians seriously is what they have said to the Browns behind closed doors is the exact opposite to what they're saying in public. And from my standpoint, you can't basically tell a team to go pound salt and then when they go pound salt elsewhere, say, now we're going to sue you for doing this. Like, you either want to be part of the contributions toward the project or you don't. And if you don't, that's fine. Cleveland has no money. I, as a resident of Cleveland, have to vote on a school levy because the school system's $150 million in the red. No money for schools, no money for safety services, no money for roads, no money for other stuff. But yet you're fighting to keep open a stadium that costs you money that you don't have. So I don't get it, but the Browns trying to preempt this whole thing, get some clarity because the law is vague, and you know, it was a 20-page filing, and we'll just, you know, sit back and see what the, you know, the court has to say about it. But you know, one of the grounds that the Browns argue was unconstitutional, you know, from a commerce standpoint. Mm. Again, I don't know why the city believes the Browns are just obligated under this law that they have to sign a new lease in a building that doesn't function.
They don't believe that. You know they don't believe that. You know,
I know for a fact they don't believe.
Yeah.
Ken, I know what was said in these meetings.
Yes.
And the team was basically told that, and this is a, hang on, I'm getting my notes here. There was a quote that I was told. Dead on arrival was a quote that was told to the Browns in one of the meetings within the last 24 months regarding any type of city contribution toward a new stadium deal. So, like, what were the Browns supposed to do? So, and this is a process that's been going on since 2017 that the Browns have been exploring this, and this isn't what the Browns wanted. They don't want a court battle and all this kind of stuff. They tried to do it the right way. They kept their intentions quiet as long. They supported the monies that the city was seeking for the lakefront, whether they were there or not, you know. And there's just a lot of stuff going on publicly that doesn't line up with some of the stuff that went on privately.
The Browns play the Ravens on Sunday. You can hear it here, 92.3 The Fan. Daryl, thank you very much for the time.
You bet, guys. Have a good weekend.